I really want to just expound a little bit on what Mark's message this morning about spirit, soul, and body. And I want to go over just one aspect of it. I want to talk specifically about the emotions part of the soul tonight. Let's start off in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Let's get our jumping off point here. I love the scriptures. God is not against emotions, first off. You need to know that. God has emotions. You need to know that. If you don't think so, just do a little quick search of the anger of the Lord. You will find lots of it. And for God so loved, He so loved the world. You can please God. You can make God happy. You can get God upset. Ask me how I know that. He has emotions, but now the thing of it is, He is never ruled by His emotions. And we're going to specific. Now we could go Old Testament, New Testament, look at God, God the Father, God the Son. Now, we're going to look at a couple of Old Testament scriptures, but mainly we're going to look into Jesus. He is the author and finisher of our faith. You're going to find out He had emotions. Why this is so important? God gave us our emotions for a reason. We should enjoy our emotions. Emotions are a useful tool for a lot of things. But God never intended for man to be ruled by his emotions. Now, you just need to know that right now. We are not ruled by it. And sometimes there's an intense war not to be ruled by it. Well, starting off in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, this is one of the early verses, probably 25 years ago, that I heard taught, that even let me know that there was a difference between my spirit and my soul. I always heard about getting your soul saved, you know, and I didn't really realize there was a difference between your spirit and your soul. But it says here, Paul writing to the Thessalonian church, he said, "The very God of peace sanctify you wholly," that's W-H-O-L-L-Y, "and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." In Hebrews, there's a verse that I didn't look up that says, "The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, even dividing asunder between soul and spirit." Boy, sometimes you need the word of God. I sometimes can't tell whether I'm operating out of my spirit or out of my soul. You ever been sick? I mean really sick. Puking and running sick, okay? Really, I mean, and it's gone on for days. And I mean, your emotions can get so overwhelmed during that, you know. And, you know, you get to thinking, God doesn't love me anymore. And, you know, I'm just a castaway and I'm just a reject. I'm the offscouring of the Word. You just start thinking all of this stuff. And then you get into the Word of God and you start finding out, no, wait a minute. Wait a minute, my body is sick. I myself am not sick. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I have been set free from all manner of sickness and disease. Himself bore my sick. Your spirit man will rise up and begin declaring the truth of God's word and make a distinction between your spirit and your soul. I like that. Well, what is the soul? It's really hard to define. God has a soul. You can read in Hebrews where it says, if you draw back, those that draw back unto perdition, God's soul has no pleasure in them. He does not delight in them if they draw back from the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. God has a soul. God has emotions. God loves. We could go through Proverbs and tell you, these are seven things that God hates. Remember that in Proverbs? These are abomination in the sight of God. And he starts talking. God hates those things. So don't tell me he doesn't have emotions. He does. But the difference is, God is never ruled by emotions. Okay, this is the third time. Now, I'm going to go ahead and share this. Maybe this will speak louder than other things. My dad was real good. My earthly dad, O.R. Carpenter, he was real good at not letting me be ruled by my emotions. Teenage boys left on their own will sleep till noon. Okay? Teenage boys do not like to clean up their room. Teenage boys don't have much discipline. My dad, I remember one of the first times once I was working on the construction crew, my dad had me in the laborers union when I was 14. He told him I was 16. I've been working since I was pretty young. I remember my mom had come in. I didn't, you know, and said, time to get up. Breakfast is ready. Left the room. I didn't get right up. The next thing that I had consciousness of was my body going through the air because my dad had turned the bed over on me. And you know, don't answer. You ever pretend to be sick so you don't have to do something? My dad, he'd come back here, he'd feel my forehead. If I wasn't just blazing hot, I'll clean it up for a church. You get your lazy bottom out of that bed. My dad was not going to allow me to be a person that grew up ruled by my emotions. And I got news for you, neither is your Heavenly Father interested in that at all. You are a spirit. You have a soul, right here from 1 Thessalonians, and you live in a body. Now, sometimes, especially when you're new at certain things, it's hard to distinguish emotions from your spirit. It really is. It's better with practice. That's part of Hebrews also, where it says, by reason of use over a period of time, you can train even your senses to discern between good and evil. Emotions, if I was to live by my emotions, let's say it a different way. On those days, if you ever just wake up and everything's great, I mean, I have days that I wake up and, man, Sue loves me. God loves me. My kids love me. When we had a cat, my cat loves me. And those days are great, man. I love it when it's those days. And then for no apparent reason, the very next day, I mean, it could be bright sunshine outside. For no apparent reason, you wake up, God hates me. Everybody hates me. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to do nothing. I want to lay around and feel sorry for myself. And there's not even anything wrong. And then some days there really is a bunch of stuff wrong. And your emotions will want to go that bad way again. Who's in charge here? Who rules, see? Thank God for His Word. Now I'm going to show you an astounding verse from the Old Testament. Go to Proverbs 13, verse 24. And I will add my testimony to this verse, not only because it's in the Bible. God's Word does not need Gary's testimony. God's Word is truth because it is truth. Now this verse, all of the modernists would like to rip it out of every Bible on earth because they think they know how to raise children better than God. See, what is love? We know that God loves, right? Right? Did you know love is not really an emotion? There are emotions that come along with love, but love is a decision. Let me show you from the Word. Proverbs 13:24. He that spareth his rod. Now, if you look that word up, it's not talking about a steel rebar. It's talking about a slender, reed-like rod. Today, we would say a switch. A switch, okay? Anyone ever get switched? Am I in Oklahoma? Okay. All right. He that spareth his switch. What's that next word? Hateth his son. But he that loves him chastens him betimes. And that just means often. Chastens him often. I would like for you to know that O.R. Carpenter loved his son. More than once in our walk with the Lord, we have, and I'm trying to be really careful here. I don't want you trying to figure out who it is. If you ask me, I won't tell you. But more than once, we have been in houses that had young kids that they were just run wild. Just run wild. Even though we'd come to our house, they'd bring their kids to our house. That's one thing to run, you know, you do whatever in your own house, I guess, you know. But to have 5-year-old kids, 6-year-old, 4-year-old kids, 7, climbing in somebody else's house, climbing the furniture and throwing stuff on the wall and just no respect at all, you know. And you tell them to, you know, the parents might say, now hush up, and it doesn't even affect them one bit. You know, just nothing, because they spareth the switch. Two occasions that I'm thinking of right now, two different occasions that really happened, I took a chance on losing the friendship by just pointing out this verse, and there's about eight or nine others just in Proverbs that talks about that very thing. And I prophesied. I said, if you don't do something different, you're going to raise hellions. I'm telling you, they're going to rule the house, and you're going to be really sorry. And then later on, it's really hard to fix this. But both times, both of these particular cases, they showed me a modern book written by a modern psychiatrist. And they were smarter than God. In both cases, exactly what the Word of God says is what happened. Exactly. I mean, I don't need to go any farther than that. If you're going to go by now, my lily cakes, oh my God, you want to pull on my emotions? That little blue, I started to say blue-haired, blonde-eyed, but that's not right. It's a blue-eyed, blonde-haired girl. I mean, she just looks at Papa, and Papa melts. But every now and then, she does something that is so dangerous for her that I have to make sure she knows she can't do that. And Papa has to apply the switch or light spanking or something. And I've had to give that girl a swat. And I'm telling you, if I just went by my emotions, I would not do it. And the world would call that love. And God would call that hate. Do you hear that? The world calls it love. Love is not an emotion. There are emotions that come with love. But love is a decision. And love will always agree with God's word because God is love. We could go to Hebrews right now, Hebrews 12, and look at how God loves us. Well, if you read, you know, it says, the Son that God loves. Well, in fact, let's just go there. Instead of me trying to quote it, it's Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. And we're going to come back to verse 2 in a minute, looking unto Jesus. But I want you to see how God loves you. It says, verse 5, you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord what? For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Do you know God believes his own word? He believes the book of Proverbs concerning us. If we need it, he will chasten us. Now, he doesn't chasten you with sickness like they taught me in the church I grew up in. He doesn't chasten you with car wrecks, stuff like that. He is we're in the same passage said he is the father of your spirit, and he will chasten you in spirit. It's easy, just easy to experience that. Just go try and steal something. Just go to Target over here, just on the way home, see if you can steal some grapes and eat them. You'll get a spanking right in your spirit. And if you don't get one, next time we have an altar call, go forward. Because if you're his child, you're going to get that scourging. There's going to be something on the inside of you. Go, nope, can't do that. If I do it, I get a whooping. Well, it's not a physical whooping, it's a spiritual whooping. But anyway, it says, whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son whom he receives. Now, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, well, then are you bastards and not sons. And that's why I said that. If you can lie, cheat, steal, commit adultery, and there's no spanking on the inside of you, there is no chastisement, you don't feel anything wrong. He's like, well, who knew anything was wrong with that? You're not saved. You may be a church member. You may have shook a preacher's hand. They may have given you a membership card. But if there is no scourging, chastening going on the inside of you when you do sin, now you may do sin and feel terrible. Well, at least you're saved. Well, you're saved. Your spirit is getting a whooping. And you can repent and be back in fellowship with God. Amen? But if there's nothing in you, if you don't get that chastisement, it says you're a bastard, and it's saying it right. You're not really born of God's Spirit. Boy, I love these shouting messages. Hallelujah. I'm having a good time anyway. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, who are carpenter, which corrected us. We gave them reverence. You bet that. Shall we not rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? He is the Father of your spirit, and that's where you get your correction. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. And that's really the purpose of the chastening, that we become partakers of His holiness. You'll finally get to the place you'll quit stealing. You'll quit doing all that stuff. You get tired of the spanking. We could go on there. Back up to verse 2, chapter 12. Now, in everything we do, who is our pattern? Who is the prototype? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So let's look unto Him. Go to John chapter 11, verse 35. Shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. God is not calling us to be some kind of Vulcan from Star Trek who never cries, who never shows emotion, who never just stoic, you know? No. Jesus wept. And now we're not going to get into why. I don't want to generate a lot of letters. But I just want you to see Jesus wept. There was times. Other times it said He rejoiced in spirit. Now let's look at one other one. Look at Mark 14, verse 34. Now this is in the Garden of Gethsemane. Well, and for context's sake, starting verse 32, they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and He said to His disciples, "Sit you here while I shall pray." And He taketh with Him Peter and James and John. And He began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And He saith unto them, and notice the wording here, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry you here and watch. That ought to be one of the most encouraging verses to you in the Bible. If Jesus Himself had to wrestle with His soul to accomplish the will of God, don't think God is faulting you when you're wrestling with yours. That was worth the price of admission if we had one right there. Well, what's going on here? This is where He's agonizing in prayer. We're just hours before the cross here. And He knows what His assignment is, to become sin. He who knew no sin, He's literally going to become sin. He is going to be separated from His Father. He's never known that kind of separation. He hates sin. It tells you in, again, Hebrews is becoming one of my favorite books. It tells you in Hebrews, He hates iniquity. He hates it. That nature of God, He hates iniquity, yet He is going to become iniquity so He can be the offering. So verse 35, He went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from Him. And He said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto Thee. Take away this cup from Me. Nevertheless, now here it is, not what I will, but what Thou wilt. When He says, nevertheless, not what I will, where is that will? That's in His soul. The soul, again, is hard to really put a definition on. I know it includes the mind. I know it includes emotion. I know it includes, that's where the will comes from. That's where He's wrestling. There's a will in His soul that wants to do something different than the will of the Father. And again, if He had to wrestle like this, don't think God is faulting you if you have to wrestle with this from time to time. Most of the instructions I have received from the Lord along this path have not been really that hard to do. Most of them have been, you know, forgive. That was kind of hard because I just didn't know how, and it was new to us when I had to forgive those two people. But I will tell you this, one of the hardest ones was watching, I got to be careful how I say things. When we started in the early days into full-time ministry, we received instructions. Let's say it another way. That's how I usually phrase it. I received the will of the Father how he wanted us to operate our instruction. I got it through praying in tongues and listening. Y'all know our testimony. Many, many hours constantly for 2 years or so. And I received a set of instructions from him how we were to function, at least financially, in the earth. Those instructions were very hard. And they got harder as I saw the enemy through the kitchen sink and lack in every form at us. It's hard when, for 2 years, every piece of clothing that comes in the house comes from garage sales. You know, 25-cent shirt that somebody else doesn't want anymore. And it's bad enough for you, but when you have to do that, when your wife also. We went one solid year without ever even so much as buying a McDonald's hamburger. Not one time. And my wife is very, I have a great wife. I have a wife that is my helpmeet. She never complained. I do think she kind of did the Allen's wife, Christy. I love her, what Alan said about his wife one time. She was never complaining, but it was coming up to Christmas and there was no money. Getting closer and closer. And she asked the question. I think Sue didn't use exactly these words, but I've had this same question. Now, how are we believing God? What am I supposed to do? My soul generated 1,000 plans on how to fix that. And trouble of it is, every one of those plans, one way or another, violated the instructions that he gave me. When that kind of situation goes on for a week or a month, that's one thing. But when it goes on for 2 or 3 years, and the enemy constantly is throwing stuff at you that you missed God anyway, you didn't hear him in the first place, you're just, all of that came out of your own mind. It's not the will of God. Do you know anybody else that functions that way? Look at this one. Look at that one. Nobody does that. Now, the kind of instructions he gave us, and I hesitate to do this because I don't want you to pattern after that. I want you to pray and see what God tells you to do. But for us, at that stage of our ministry, we were to not take up any offerings. We were having a little Bible study at our home. He said, don't take up any offerings from them. We were sending out cassette tapes. He said, don't charge anything for the cassette tapes. He said, pay, just, and you pay the postage and everything. He said, do not for us. Now, again, there's nothing wrong with sending out appeal letters, but for, unless he says not to. But for us, he said, don't send out any appeal letters. And the way he worded that, what he says, never let another human being know of any need that you have. I am your source. If you will obey me, I will speak to the hearts of the people I choose to support you and the ministry. Well, he's done that all these years. You know, that's been since 1994. He's done that, but we had great opportunities to believe he wasn't doing that. In the natural, it sure didn't look like it for a long, long time. Okay? Now, there was a struggle, not once in the garden, but daily, weekly, monthly, for about 2 or 3 years, where I had to put that down again. You know, it's hard when you... We didn't really suffer. I don't want to use that kind of a word. It's not really... I mean, we live like kings compared to most of the world. I've been to South Africa. I have seen the hovels that they live in. I mean, you know, if you work at McDonald's, you probably got an apartment and a used car, and you're a king. Compared to how most of the world lives. Amen? But we didn't suffer. But compared to our peers, everyone that we knew, it was hard on my emotions. I mean, and everything in me come up with all... I mean, I can generate ideas. I can write letters. I knew I could fix it. You know, Dave and Tim are smart. They could fix it here if they wanted to. You know what I'm saying? They know how to start programs and do all kinds of stuff. We could have one of the snazziest churches in town and lots of people. But they're just not interested in that. What they're interested in is revival. Well, I praise God. That's one of the reasons we're still going here. Now, I said all that to say this. Thank God we hung in there. Thank God we never did capitulate to the emotions. But I'm telling you, that emotional thing can go on for years. And you have to put it down every day. Every day. What happened? God did exactly what he said he'd do. Have you noticed I haven't died? Have you noticed I'm getting plenty to eat? God has done exactly what he said he'd do. And he will do that for you too. Now, back here looking at Jesus, he says, if it be possible, take away this cup from me. Boy, I'm so glad that's in the Bible. If Jesus struggled, if there was a will in him that fought like that, yet he overcame, and how did he do it? Prayer and fasting. Exactly how he did it. Well, who are we to look unto? Jesus. When there's a struggle in your will, I recommend prayer and fasting. I mean, and sometimes intense. I've never yet gone into such intensive prayer that I had to sweat great drops of blood, but I've been in it enough. All right. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Should have had you stay close by there in Proverbs a while ago. The soul wants to rule you. Now, those flashcards that Mark was using this morning, where he would have the mind exalt itself, become exalted over the spirit. Well, that's exactly what happened to man at the fall. And I was hoping there was a subset of cards. Because what I want to talk about now, the emotions, if you let them, they will rule over the mind. Your mind can know what to do. And your emotions go, I don't give a rip. I don't care. I am not doing it. My mind will go, we need to go pray. And my emotions go, buy a half gallon of chocolate ice cream, you know. What you need is more TV and ice cream. Oh yeah, that's what I need. But your emotions, if you'll allow it, well, they'll just flat rule you. Well, anyway, Ecclesiastes 10:7. I'll never forget when this verse went off in me. The Holy Ghost showed me what it meant. Solomon wrote here, he says, I have seen. And if you back up here, let's start in verse 5. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, as an error which proceeds from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in low places. And I have seen servants upon horses, and princes walking as servants upon the earth. And for years I had no idea what in the world that was talking about. Thank God for praying in other tongues. One day I just saw it in vision form and I just understood it. And I don't know how I understood it. And I still don't know, but I know that I do understand it. That is exactly the condition of the unborn again man right there. When God made man, he made him as a living soul. It's really hard to distinguish. That's what I say. We are a spirit, we have a soul, but I'm telling you, it's a living soul. When God first made man, and it's hard to distinguish, okay? Now, the spirit part of man died at the fall. And what happened there, the mind, exactly like Mark said today, the mind took the ascendancy over the spirit of man. What God always, see that horse, that represents your life. You could say the flesh, but really what it represents is the direction you're going to go in life. Who is supposed to have the reins of that horse? Who is supposed to be directing your life and where you go? Your spirit is supposed to be in contact with the Holy Spirit. Your spirit man is the prince. And the prince is supposed to be on top of the horse with the reins. Your spirit in contact with the Holy Spirit, receiving the mind of Christ. You're the one that direct through that leadership, then you direct the reins of the horse. And that's how your life is supposed to go. But what has happened, the mind of man, which God really gave to Adam as a tool. I started to bring a laptop with me. A laptop is a lot like the mind. It's a nice tool. It calculates really well. It makes life a whole lot easier. You know, I'm glad I have a nice laptop. I should have brought it. Have a nice laptop, you know, and it's a good tool for me. But wouldn't it be awful if, you know, I had my laptop here and I'm going to go over here and talk to that lady on the corner over there. And suddenly there's a voice from my laptop says, you can't go over there. Why can't I? Because I rule here. And the laptop is suddenly telling me what I can do. That's exactly what happened to man. The mind, what God had given for a tool, suddenly now it has become the master. And so the servant, that which was supposed to be the servant, has taken ascendancy. He's got the reins of your life. And you've got to watch that even in ministry. I was talking with Michael before the service tonight. Most ministries, let's say, I want to back up. I won't use most ministries. I'll use Gary. If I had stayed in the denomination I grew up in, I knew I had a call when I was 7 years old. I knew it then. If I would have stayed in that denomination, I would have gone to that seminary. Today I would be preaching tongues as of the devil. I would not have known anything about the real leadership of the Holy Ghost. At some point, I would have graduated from Bible training, no matter, you know, masters, doctors, whatever. Someday you graduate. Now you got to make a decision. What are you going to do? And my mind, with all good intentions, my mind would have made a decision. Now, knowing me, I probably would have decided to be a pastor, just knowing my temperament and kind of how I am. And that would have been way out on the fringe of God's acceptable will. It's not that he wouldn't have blessed that all that he could, but that was never God's plan for Gary's life. People call me Pastor Gary all the time, and I'm okay with that, but that doesn't make me one. I am a teacher in the body of Christ. How do you know you're a teacher? I heard it from the Holy Ghost. He informed me from the mind of Christ, see? Even my own ministry, though, had I gone that other way and not known how to tap into the leadership of God that comes by the Holy Ghost, I would have had to make a decision. I could have been a missionary. We were talking about these very things. Well, how do you do a ministry? You pray and obey. That's how you do it. Your spirit is supposed to be the ones in the saddle, not your mind. Your mind, I'm telling you right now, you can generate 1,000, my mind still yet today, can generate 1,000 plans and none of them be God. Not one of them be God. And it likes a mind, the mind is a real good imitator, real good duplicator. Well, so-and-so's doing it like that, I'm going to do it like that, you know. Or so-and-so's doing that, I can do it better than that and come up with another. You can come up with so many things and not one of them be God. I like it a whole lot better. Quit trying to figure it out and just go pray it out. That's the right way to do it. Now, I looked up that word sorrowful. I want you to understand that Jesus himself had emotions and he had to overcome emotions. That verse there back in Mark 14:34, where he says, "My soul is sorrowful unto death." You look up that word sorrowful. In Strong's, it says, "Grieved and intensely sad." Grieved and intensely sad. Does that sound like an emotion to you? It does to me. His soul was so grieved. He was so, let's say it plainly, he did not want to do this. "I do not want to do this, Father." And his soul was at the point of death not wanting to do it. You may come to a place in your life where you get an instruction from God and your soul says no. And all the emotions will gang up like a they'll come to agree with that against your spirit. But I am telling you right now, you are a born again child of God. Like Mark says, if Jesus wasn't free of that war, I don't think we'll ever be free of that war, maybe till we get to heaven, but I'm not even sure there, because the angels chose to disobey God too. You know, you got free will in heaven. But I don't know if we'll ever be free totally from that war, but I will tell you this, your spirit man can have dominion over your soul all the time. You do not have to yield to it. Now, it may take practice. I'll tell you one of the best things that will help you gain dominion over your emotions. Have O.R. Carpenter be your dad. No, I'm teasing. Pray in tongues. Jude, verse 20, one of our favorite verses around here. "Beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith." Now, who is you? Again, we talked about this last week. Who is you? You is the real spirit man. You are the one that's born of God. It's like spiritual gymnastics. It's like you're edifying yourself. We talked about this a week ago. How are you being edified? Because you're understanding the mysteries of God. You're understanding more who you are, how you have dominion over your emotions. Emotions are great. I love emotions, but I can't be ruled by them. You'll wind up murdering somebody. Or you'll wind up not chastening somebody. God says, You know, as ministers, we're told to rebuke. I do not like rebuking. Not from the pulpit and not one-on-one. I don't like it. I always say send Mark. No, or Mike or somebody. I don't want to do that. But sometimes, you're the one. He says, I want you to go tell him it's wrong. I want you. I don't want to do that. That is one of the things I do not want to do that. But sometimes he won't let me out of it. And my emotions, if I go by them, I'll just ignore it. But if it's really him, then you got to do it. Whether they like it, whether they don't like it, whether you like it, whether you don't like it. All right. Hallelujah. If you want to have a really good Bible study for yourself and find out how you're to treat your soul, if I'd have really understood better the lesson for tonight, I would have got this together ahead of time. Go through the book of Proverbs, and everywhere that it gives instruction about how to raise a child, apply that same instruction to your soul. Your soul is very much like a child. And I'm talking about including the emotions. It wants what it wants when it wants it. And it doesn't really care about God or anybody else. Not really. It's like a little child. That very verse we looked at a while ago, if you hate your soul, don't ever discipline it. If you hate it, don't ever discipline it. Sometimes you got to discipline your soul. What does that mean? There's still times when I don't want to get up and pray. I don't want to. Now, O.R.'s, he's already in heaven now. So I can't rely on him anymore. Who have I got to? Gary, get your sorry bottom out of this bed. Get in there and pray like the man of God you really are. Oh, the cool side of the pillow, though. Wait a minute. Get out of this bed, but get up. You got to chasten your soul sometimes. If you love your soul, hallelujah. Let me just say it one more time. Emotions are wonderful. Emotions are to be enjoyed. Emotions are from God. But He never intended for you to be ruled by your emotions, not the bad ones or the good ones. You rule by your spirit. Amen? Hallelujah.